Bible is the book of Jeremiah. Glad you're here today. I'll get wired up here in a minute. Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's read verse 16. Jeremiah 6, 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Father, we have your word before us today, and we believe when we, two or three of us, are gathered together in your name, your Holy Spirit's there. So we trust you to touch hearts and lives. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and may your Holy Spirit bring conviction to the hearts of each one of us. If there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, may that soul be convicted. Help us this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good old verse.
Amen.
It says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you notice the last part of that verse? We will not walk therein. Go down a verse or two and you'll find the same thing. Verse 17, the last part of it says, we will not hearken. Isn't it amazing? I was looking at it, and in verse 10, I noticed something that sounded a whole lot like us. Verse 10, same chapter. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. As I was reading this and thinking about it, I thought there's a lot of similarities between modern America, and let's just say this church right here, you and me, all of us included, and some of the people that walk back in this day. It's an amazing thing to think about them talking about going back to the old ways. I mean, we're looking 2,500 years here or better. Back. And he's telling them back there to go back to the old ways. And I was just thinking how much we love youth. We do. Our whole culture is based on youth. You watch your television or you see your ads up beside the road as you're going down the road. Listen to the radio. They've got more things to try to keep you young. You ladies, they don't want any wrinkles on you, you know. They want you to use this special cream. It'll take all these things out of here. They've even got creams that'll take the black out, you know, so that it doesn't look black down there. They got stuff to rub on you to take the cellulite off your body. They rub it on the outside to get the cellulite. I don't understand how that works, but they got more diet pills. Solomon said, put a knife to your throat. That's what Solomon said. He said, put a knife to your throat. Now, I don't really like that. I'd rather eat than put a knife to my throat. In our recent vacation, we went through several towns. I'm amazed at the growth of San Antonio. We've been growing for 25 years, just continually, just blossoming. Out where I live at Bernie, it's doubled since I've been out there. And they just keep building things and building. And you know, that looks good. When you drive into a town and it's got a lot of new stuff, you say the town's alive, it's prosperous, new growth. We went through a couple of towns in Arizona that, good night, you talk about ghost towns? I thought we were in ghost towns. They didn't have a new filling station. They didn't have a new ice house. They didn't have a new anything. I mean, half the buildings were deserted, and you look around and say, ooh, man, I like the new. My first car was a 40 Ford, and I ran on to a restored 40 Ford in Arizona. I took a couple pictures of it because I don't have any pictures of mine. But boy, it was beautiful. I bet he's got $30,000 in that 40 Ford. Now, you know, my 40 Ford would run 85 miles an hour, and that was as fast as it would go. It wouldn't make 86. You know, if you got 100,000 miles on that old engine and that 44, that nice flathead V8, I liked it. Oh, I did. But if you got 100,000 miles without overhauling it, you'd done something. That was a good engine. Then if you took it all down and overhauled it, as I did that engine, if you got 75,000 out of that, that was good. These new cars, the new ones I drive now, I get 170,000, 200,000 miles out of these engines without doing a thing to them. Just changing the oil. They're made out of plastic and aluminum, but boy, they're better. They are. They give you better gas mileage. They'll go faster. In fact, it's not legal for you to drive as fast as they'll go. You need to go to the Autobahn over in Europe to be able to drive them and put them up to their real limits. We love the new. Who wants to go to the old? We want a new computer. We first sent our missionaries out. Verlene and I had worked 3 days getting the gift lists. Then we'd mail the gift lists. They might get there if they were in Europe in a month or two. In Mexico, it'd be a week or two, or if the donkey died, it might be a little longer. There were times when down in Mexico, they decided they weren't going to cash American checks. And I remember a time I had money strapped all over this body crossing into Mexico, driving the money down myself. I was illegal. I'm saying it on tape. I was definitely illegal. I was carrying a whole lot more money than I was going to declare. Now then, they just take their credit card. Brian was talking about credit cards. They take their credit card and walk out the bank and go zip and get their money. We drop it in the bank here in San Antonio. It's better. The new way is so much better. They just get on the internet and look at their bank account. They write out checks to pay. I don't even have to write the checks for them anymore. Used to, I had several different people, missionaries, I took care of their accounts for them. And I would write checks out every month, taking care of their bills. I don't have to do that anymore. The new's better. New cell phones, they got them so small, I can't handle them. My fingers weren't made to punch one button at a time on those cell phones. That's not the way I'm made. I need a great big one to carry around with me. We got a lot of people that are really youth-oriented. Everybody wants to look young forever. Well, let me let you in on something. It ain't going to happen. The wrinkles are going to come, the muscles are going to go, the fat's going to go, the hair's going to go. Amen. He said here that they had a problem with these people, that the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, they have no delight in it. Just a while back, and I don't know whether it was on the vacation or another time, we passed a courthouse. And right out there was a nice marble, big marble thing with the Ten Commandments on it, right in front of the courthouse. We got people fighting that in different states all across the country. When he's talking about looking for the old path, that's what he's talking about. He's not saying we want to drive old cars. I don't. He's not saying we want to use old phones and old computers and old houses. No, I like air conditioning. I grew up before television and before air conditioning. I love both of them. I love all automobiles. Man, I don't want a horse or a mule. I don't even want to ride the bus to try to make visits. You know, one time I decided I'm going to try to save some money. I lived out by the airport, and I said, I've got about 5 hospital visits to make today, and I'm going to keep my car parked. And I walked down, and I got on the bus. And I rode down. It took me all day to make those 5 visits. I decided I'm going to spend the money on the gas. I'm just one of these modern fellows, you know. I want the car. I love the car. You want me to ride with everybody else? I don't want to ride with everybody else. I want to have my own car, go where I want to go, when I want to go. That's modern America, isn't it? And you like that. He said over there, he said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. He's talking about the Word of God. And that's what we had right here in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. We got a bunch of people that don't like the old way. They don't like the old path. They don't like the Word of God. The Word of God is a reproach to them. And they have said they have no delight in it. Isn't it amazing? Their fathers followed the Word of God. Their fathers fell on their faces before God. Their fathers prayed and got answers to prayer. But they were smarter. Just like a lot of people today. They're so much smarter. They have no delight in it. Waste of their time. Is there any of that in you? Just wonder. Just that one verse right there. Is there any of that? There's a whole lot of it in our society right now. They have no delight in the Word of God. They value it no more than they value anything else. In fact, they value it less because you value it more. Because it's been preached as truth, they have to stand against it. I sure hope there's none of that in you in here today. Look, if you will, at verse 13, same chapter. I thought this also described us pretty well. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Everyone is given to covetousness, from the least to the greatest. I heard some things recently about somebody selling the names of Alzheimer's victims to people so they could try to sell them things. When Miss Bell was in her assisted living, she had a lot of money. She could have written a check, paid for a new Lincoln Continental without a problem. And she wanted one, although she couldn't drive. But she didn't believe she couldn't drive. If somebody could have walked in there, some slick salesman walked in there and said, I've got a nice new Lincoln Town car right out here, got 5 miles on it, only $55,000, she'd, here's the check. She'd have written it out. They don't care. They don't care that they cheat you. You see, recently this mugger hit this 93-year-old woman, beat her up for her check. They don't care that you're weak. They don't care that you're sick. They don't care that you have needs. They don't care about your business. They don't care about your family. Covetousness is the only thing. I want what you got. There are people who kill you in this town for $25. Just go to the wrong place. Pull your wallet out at the wrong time. Say the wrong thing. Look weak. You know what wolves and coyotes do? When they go after a pack of animals, deer or cows or buffalo or whatever you want to say, they don't go after the big bull. No. They don't even head for some healthy cow. They look for the weak. The ones straggling along behind, the ones that can't quite keep up. That's who they attack. Because they're just like animals, and all they care about is themselves. They don't care what problems it causes you. They don't care what damage it does to you. They don't care how it hurts you. And there are people right now in this country, richest country in the world that's ever been, most freedom anybody's ever enjoyed. They just want to take your money. We hear about it month after month after month, contractors coming in, and they prey on old people, they prey on weak people, people who can't do things for themselves. But they'll take advantage of anybody that gives them an opportunity. He said back there, from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Isn't that terrible? But you know, that sounds to me a whole lot like America. They're going to sell you a fat pill. They know it doesn't work. You know how you know it doesn't work? Look at all the fat people walking around you. If they ever got a fat pill at work, I'd take it. It doesn't work. You know what I have to do to lose weight? Quit eating. Anybody can lose weight. I have never seen a fat prisoner of war. Have you? I've never seen a fat prisoner of war. These poor boys, when they walk out of there, they're skin and bones. I met one from the Bataan Death March when I was in college. He weighed 250 pounds and over 6 foot tall when he was captured. When I knew him, it was 10, 15 years after the war, the Bataan Death March. He was about 165 pounds and about 5'10". And his wife just kept feeding him all she could, trying to get weight on him again. Couldn't put it on him. You know, you can lose weight if you don't eat enough. But there is no magic pill. There is no diet product, and the people putting it out and selling it know it. What about a lot of other things they're selling today? It's nothing but greed for money, covetousness. Why do things cost so much? Some things that ought to be free to everybody. Do you realize that people are paying some of you, me too sometimes, $1 a bottle of water? You think that dollar bottle of water is better what's coming out of your tap? They probably fill that bottle of water out of your tap. Come on, use your head. Covetousness. From the least of us to the smallest of us, it's a crying shame, but boy, we love money and what money will buy and what money can do and the ease and the pleasure it gives us. And some of us aren't too scrupulous about how we get our money and what we do to get our money. And that's a problem in our generation. I hope it's not a problem with you. But you know, he mentions these things, and I won't mention all the others, but those two I thought sure did fit modern America. And I hope not this church. He says in verse 16, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. He said, stand in the ways. Go out and look how people live. That's what he's telling you to do. He's saying, go out there and stand in the ways. You see how these people are living over here? That's the way the athletes live. These people, that's the way the doctors live. And these people, that's where the insurance salesmen live. This people here, this is the way the working man lives. And this way over here, this is the way the church people live. And this is the way other people live. You stand in the ways and take a look how people are living is what he's telling you to do. And then while you're looking them all over, you ask a question. What's the old way? That's what he said. Ask for the old paths, the old ways. Now, he's not talking about cars, and he's not talking about houses and air conditioning and clothes and things of that nature. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about character. He's talking about morality. He's talking about modesty. He's talking about testimony. He's talking about the way you live. If we live, if we talk, if we think, if we do everything that the world does, and there is no difference in us except what we say with our mouth, what in the world does the world have to come to you for? Where is the difference? Everybody says they're different. Everybody claims for themselves special rights. They have the truth, whatever. I remember when I was young, and my dad was worried about me because I was growing up and I was getting wild, and he'd raised me up in church. And so he took me to a great big church. And I was willing. I went along. I was a teenager at the time. I was already driving a car. And the guys I ran with at that church, I went there long enough to make friends and go to their classes and hang out with them a little bit. They acted just like the buddies I went to school with that never darkened the doors of a church. And you know what I said in my mind? Now, I could have been completely wrong. I said, there's no difference between them and the gang I hang around with. And I walked away. And when I walked away, I pretty well walked away from church. And I went my way with my buddies. Because I didn't see any difference. When I did get saved, I quit smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling, those four things in one day. I quit them. I didn't quit them because I didn't quit smoking because I thought smoking was a sin. I just knew it was a bad testimony. And if I'm out talking to some drunk and telling him Jesus can deliver him from his drink, he'll say, well, why can't he deliver you from cigarettes? Smoking won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. Why don't you ask for the old way? Why don't you try to find out what is God's way? Why don't you figure out that maybe your generation doesn't have it right? Maybe modern Christianity isn't what it's supposed to be. Maybe the ladies' movement is not what God wanted it to be. Maybe there's been some mistakes made in our marriages, in our ideas about marriage and what is right and what God wants. And just maybe you need to ignore what you think and take a look at what God says. That's what He said. Stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Now, one of the things that struck me as I got saved, I wanted to see what the Bible had to say. I didn't care what my church said. I didn't care what religion said. I didn't care what you said. I had to know what God said. And you know, that stood me in good stead. Oh, it's cost me a lot of friends. It's given me a lot of trouble. I've been accused of an awful lot of things because I sought what God said rather than what my compadres did. But I'm still willing to go with that. I think I'll go the rest of the way to the judgment seat of Christ with what this book says. He said not only ask for the old ways, what is the good way, but he said walk therein. It's not enough just to know what's right. You need to do what's right. Amen. It's not enough to hear the truth. You need to accept the truth, believe the truth, walk in the truth. And if it affects part of your life, so be it. It's supposed to. Any religion you have that does not change your life is not worth having. If it brings no change whatsoever, what good did it do you? And there's one place that's really especially important when you die. I don't care how convenient or how beautiful your religion is. I don't care how acceptable it is in your society. If when you die, it does not take you to heaven in the presence of God to be accepted, it's worthless. Should be condemned in this life. You know what he said? He said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and you shall find rest under your soul. You know why I was converted? I thought about it a lot over the years. Because I had a conviction of sin. I knew I was a sinner. But I'm amazed in modern America, and maybe some of you sitting right here in front of me, at the number of people who don't acknowledge they're a sinner. Why? I haven't done anything wrong. Everything I've done is right. I'm all right. No, you're not. In fact, you're probably all wrong. I'm probably sinning while I'm preaching this sermon. Here a fellow said he hadn't sinned in 20 years. He's a liar. He just told a lie. He said, you shall find rest for your souls. And that's what I was thinking about today. Rest for your soul. I remember the day I got saved and I knew I was forgiven. What a difference. What a difference. Why? My hair wasn't cut any different. I wasn't wearing any different clothes. I was the same age I was the day before. But you know what? I was different. There was a peace and a rest came into my soul. I knew I'd made the right move in turning from my sin back toward God. I knew when I called upon God and He forgave me, that freshness, that forgiveness, that cleansing, that acceptance, the rest of my soul. You know why a lot of people are doing what they're doing out there? They have no rest for their soul. They have no rest for their soul. They're miserable day and night. The Bible describes them that they're miserable till they can find something bad that they can do. Some mischief they can accomplish. They make their plans in the night. They scheme and how to deprive somebody of life or money or goods or things or whatever. And no rest in their souls. But there is rest for the soul that comes to Jesus Christ. There is rest for the soul that asks for the old paths and walks in the good way and decides to live that kind of a life. If you're a born-again child of God, my friend, you need to be asking for old paths. And you need to do it for yourself. Don't you just listen to me. Don't listen to what some preacher has to say. You better look it up for yourself. When a preacher says something, check him out. Where? The Word of God. The Word of God. He said, you shall find rest for your souls. Look, if you will, in the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Just the last part of that sentence there. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I know there are some people, maybe sitting right here in front of me, that think the reason why you're here is because you were so good God chose you. God was looking for the best of the crowd. He was looking for the best in San Antonio, and He picked you. That's not what Jesus says. He said, I didn't come looking for the righteous. You know what he would have found? None. He said, I come seeking sinners to repent. You need to know that you're a sinner, first of all. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible declares the wages of sin is death. Separation from God and a place called hell is the final end of that. But oh, my friend, what a beautiful thing if somebody ever taught you what sin was. What a beautiful thing if you've ever been convicted of it. What a beautiful thing if you've ever been sorry for it. What a beautiful thing to know you have need of help to meet with God. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Oh yes, you get to repenting and you're going to get sorry. You're going to get sad and you're going to turn things over in your mind in the middle of the night. Think, did I do that right? How bad was I? How much, what should I do? How do I fix that? Well, the first way you fix it is admit you did wrong. Admit you did wrong. A little song we used to sing, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Sort of like the song that they sang for a special. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So many times that's the case. So many fusses and fights, so many arguments within a family, within children, a husband and a wife, or family members, or friends. It's because somebody's standing on their pride. They're not humble. They don't recognize their sin. They don't see any need of repentance. But oh, my friend, you need to repent. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. You know, I started repenting a long time ago and I've never gotten through with it. You'd think you could get the job done. You'd think as old as I am, I would have done enough. Good nighty, you've made so many mistakes and you've done so many things wrong. You've repented of all these things. Surely you're through. Surely you finally finished up. Surely you finally made the grade. No, I'm still saying, Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, forgive me for this. Lord, forgive me for losing my temper. Lord, forgive me for my impatience. Lord, forgive me for my stupidity. Lord, forgive me for my pride. Lord, forgive me for my lust. Lord, forgive me for my covetousness. I can't get through. Are you? Did you repent one time a long time ago and you quit? You haven't needed to do it anymore? I find over and over and over again, I'm in need of prayer. I'm in need of a fresh touch from God. I'm in need of forgiveness. I'm in need of cleansing. He said, you shall find rest for your souls. Turn a couple of pages to the right to chapter 11, verse 28 of Matthew. Matthew 11, 28. One of the times Jesus uses His great invitation word, come. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. He said, come unto me. Now, some of you are burdened here today. You're burdened because you're in sin and you're lost and you need to be saved. That great invitation can fit you. If you're here without Christ, I don't care if you're 12 years old or 72 years old or anything in between. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Are you laboring? Oh, I've labored harder in my mind than I ever labored in any job I ever done, and I've been a worker all my life. But boy, I've spent some sleepless nights. I've thought things through and said them the same way 100 times, 1,000 times, and I tell the Lord, I don't want to think about it anymore. But I'm still thinking about it. Still got to make a decision. Still got to draw a line. Still got to take a stand. Still got to say, this is the truth. This is the way. This is the way I got to walk. Rest for your souls. Come unto me. Are you laboring? Are you burdened over your own sin? Are you worried about eternity? Has God been dealing with your mind or your heart, and you know that if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell? Why don't you come unto Jesus? Not the church. The church can't help you. Jesus is the help. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the solving of every problem you've got. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, oh, my Christian friend, so many times in our life we get to walking careless. We get to walking where we're not on the right plane with God. We get caught up in the covetousness. We get caught up in the lifestyle. We get caught up in the world. And we lose our rest. Oh, you do. You can tell me you don't, but I know better. You lose your rest. You don't have peace. You can't sleep at night like you ought to. You can't make the decisions you ought to make. You're burdened. You know what you need to do? Come on back to Jesus. I'm thankful He didn't just let me come one time. He's not just the God of the first chance and the second chance. I'm on my millionth chance or two. I've been forgiven so many times and forgiven again and forgiven again and forgiven again. And He forgets it every time I tell it to Him. Isn't that beautiful? You come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry again. He said, what are you talking about? You confessed that already? It's forgiven. Removed as far as the east is from the west. To be remembered against you no more. Buried in the depths of the sea. To be remembered against you no more. Thank God for the forgiveness of God. But sometimes in our own minds we don't forgive ourselves. And so my Christian friend, if you got a burden tonight, this morning, you got a problem, you got a fight, you got a trouble, you got decisions to make. You got to forgive somebody you don't want to forgive. You got to humble yourself before somebody you think is more proud than you. You got to be patient with somebody who's impatient. You won't have rest till you come to the Lord and let Him give you His rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest for your souls. I'll finish with John chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's one of the most beautiful promises I know anywhere. I use that to answer all sorts of questions. I've been asked in these last 50 years, can God forgive me? I've killed. Yes, God can forgive you. If you'll come to God, He'll forgive you. I'm a child molester. Can God forgive me? Yes. I'm a homosexual. Can God forgive me? Yes, He can. God can forgive you. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, I can walk into the worst prison in the world, and I can preach this verse right here honestly, truthfully, and I can give that promise to anybody sitting there if they'll believe and come to God. I could have walked into the bunker with Hitler and given him the same promise. You see, that promise works for everybody. Can God forgive me if I smoke? Can God forgive me if I had an abortion? Can God forgive me if I've killed? Can God forgive me? I've had people come to me and say, I've killed so many people in war. I've got this blood guilt all over me and I can't get it off of me. Can God forgive me? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. You haven't found a problem yet God can't forgive. Because that's how big God is. That's how great was the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross of Calvary. My Christian friend, if you need forgiveness, it's time to come back to the Lord and let Him give you rest for your soul. My dear lost friend here, man or woman, boy or girl, if you know you need to be saved, Jesus is the only Savior. This church can't save you, and I can't save you. I wish I could. If I could wrestle you, and if I won save you, I'd win a few of you. I'd just sit on you till you gave up. But I can't do it. And I'm too old anyway. Jesus can.
Amen.
The door is open.
Amen.
With that verse, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What a prophecy. And then what a promise. And Him that cometh unto me. Would you put your name there? I did one day. I've been putting my name there 50 years. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, for whatever reason, for no possible explanation, will I cast him away. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Would you come to him today? Would you come to him today? There is rest for your soul. Let's sing number 249. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you do what the Lord has laid upon your heart. If you're here and you're not saved, my friend, simply come down here and grab me by the hand. I'll get somebody to pray with you. Come down here and say, Brother Lindell, I'm not saved. I want to be saved. Holy Spirit, touch my heart. I want to be saved. We'll get somebody to pray with you. You're here today, my Christian friend? You need some peace for your soul? There's a place to find it. You ask for the old path. You ask for the old ways. You get back to the Word of God, and you ask for forgiveness, and you seek Jesus. He'll give you rest for your soul. Let's sing.